we live by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the word of God, we are productive. The word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
Hallelujah. For according to scriptures, the beginning of miracles, the beginning of supernatural shift is the hearing of faith. Hallelujah. The Bible is big on hearing. You see, when you read the Bible, one of the things that'll get your attention is God's emphasis, God's wisdom on hearing. Hallelujah. Actually, the way we behold is by hearing. Hallelujah. A major way we behold is by hearing. And the Bible says we all beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are changed. We are transfigured. We are metamorphosed into the same image. Hallelujah. From glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So our ears are open to hear. Amen. And that is the wisdom of God. You know, human wisdom is wondering. You have challenges or you have a goal. And according to man's wisdom, it's hustling. Amen. You know, man's heart is aligned to works. That means if what you are telling him does not paint a picture of serious hustling, he doesn't believe it has real answers. But you see, when you get into your reign of God's wisdom, God doesn't operate like that. Amen. Why? Because according to the workings of God, our posture really for the manifestations of our dreams, for the manifestations of God's will for our life is receiving. That's the posture. And for that receiving, the things God tells us to do, they are amazing. Number one is hearing. Number two is speaking. Glory to God. That means you want to change, you start hearing and you start talking. And according to the scriptures, the change is on the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Let's get into God's word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What to do when there is no change as yet? Amen. What to do when there is no change as yet? Hallelujah. I'd like to encourage you, if you have not downloaded the messages from the previous teachings that's on this topic, kindly do that. Glory to God. Praise God. All right. Let's start from our anchor scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. King James. Yeah, that's a good place to shout. Amen. All right. King James version. Then we'll go to... Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Message translation. Do we have the scriptures? Can we read it together? One, two, go. No, I didn't see verse 15 now. Hallelujah. 17 and 18. So jump to 17. So we read 17 and 18. Thank you, Lord. Are we ready? One, two, go. Read. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. 18. All the things remarkable, isn't it? All right. Second Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Message translation. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19. Message translation. We'll pick it up from there. Read it for me. One to go. All right, hold on. We had an agreement last week. It's like you forgot it. And the agreement is that when we are reading the scripture, everybody will read together in concert. Is that okay? So, can we read now? One, two, go. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. We've been talking about what to do when there's no change as yet. And 2 or 3 weeks ago, we began to focus on two things you must pay attention to. And interestingly, the first one is your focus. Hallelujah. We say you have to pay attention to your focus. Glory to God. Now, the direction for the teaching has two pillars. The first is for a believer who has been praying, releasing his or her faith, or who is in faith for a specific manifestation. And that manifestation hasn't happened yet. That means it hasn't happened physically. Glory to God. That's what we call it, manifestation. Glory to God. We said there were two kinds of change. Number one is the change within, and number two is the change without. The change without is what the physical eyes can see, is what men can see. Like the scripture will say in 1 Timothy, he says, meditate on these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting will appear to all. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, right? So there's such a thing as your profiting appearing to all. So a believer who's believing God for a certain level of the operation of the anointing of God's Spirit upon his life, that is believing God for a manifestation. A certain level of manifestation in his finances, in his or her business, career, family life, walk with God, you can name it. Praise God. That's a new level. Now, that's physical manifestation. But I said that the most important part of the change equation is what happens within. How many of you remember that? Very important. And see, if you are fixated on outward manifestation without understanding this necessary part of the transformation equation, you'll be frustrated. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So, one further to say that when we say when there's no change as yet, we are not talking about the inward change. We are actually talking about the physical manifestation. That is one pillar of the discourse. Amen. And that also covers a vision, a dream, a new level, something big that by word of prophecy you are supposed to break into that hasn't happened. Or you have a word of promise, what we call the oath of promise from the Lord. The word of the Lord came to you. The word of the Lord was energized or lighted on your spirit. And you know, this is what God is saying concerning me in this season, this year, this month. And it's as though the year went and nothing happened, or the year is going and nothing is happening. What do you do when there's no change as yet? Are we together? The second pillar is a believer who is being challenged, going through difficult seasons. Glory to God. Going through a phase of what we call contradictions of faith. This is what you believe, but your experience is contrary. And in such a way that puts pressure on you, okay? Pressure on your mind, pressure on your relationship, pressure on your finances. You know that, look, this is not what the Bible says. But for some reasons, this is what I'm going through right now, and I need a change. What we call challenges, what we call mountains, what the Bible calls affliction. Are we together? That is the second pillar. What do you do in challenging times? What do you do? And when there's no change as yet, in this context of being in a season of contradictions of faith, God says, and you know it in your heart, by his stripes you are healed. But this symptom won't just leave. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Or you're going to the hospital to check again. You go to the lab, you check, and it's as though nothing has changed. Hallelujah. And even when you look at your body, it's as though nothing has changed. So we call it the contradiction of faith. What should you do? What are you supposed to be doing when there is no change as yet? Glory to God. We went further to talk about the seven reasons why there could be a delay in manifestations. Amen. And let's chorus it. One. I'm here. You said what? Lack of strong desire for change. Thank you. Number two. You are looking at your notes, but it's fine. Amen. You're not writing exams. Let me hear it. Okay. Ignorance of right kingdom principle for the change you desire. Number three. Sin consciousness and condemnation can stop a believer from receiving, amen, from receiving the manifestations. Glory to God. Ahead, number four. Lack of an oath of promise. That means you are shadow boxing. What word are you standing on? And that is very important. The teaching of faith. See, very important. If you say you are in faith and there is no definiteness of the word you are standing on, you are shadow boxing. So we call that the oath or promise. Glory to God. We call it the oath or promise. We say lack of the oath or promise can cause a delay. The person is just waiting and praying and praying. But you see, he doesn't have an anchor for his soul. And according to Hebrews, the Bible says that oath or promise is the anchor for the soul. And it's with that you enter into that which is within the veil. Hallelujah. That is really what you have to carry out your priestly ministry. We talked about that. Lack of an oath or promise can cause a delay. Not just delay, there will not be manifestations. Number five or number six now. Demonic manipulations. Yes. There are delays that are caused by demonic manipulations. What is the response to that? What should be your answer to demonic manipulations? Spiritual warfare. Amen. That's simple now. Spiritual warfare. Praise God. Spiritual warfare. That means you have to get a diagnosis spot on. An enemy has done this. Remember the story that Jesus gave when he says, why men slept? A man planted wheat, right? You see, the enemy came and sowed tares. Why men slept? And when the owner of the vineyard came, he wasn't confused. Or the farm came, he wasn't confused. He says, an enemy has done this. Glory to God. So the response is warfare. Number six. Disobedience and what? Who remembers what I said about disobedience and laziness? No, say it again. That they don't need. All right. As if a lazy person is useless both to God and to the devil. Amen. All right. So sometimes laziness in carrying out instruction or disobedience, okay, and can cause delays. And as long as you are not ready to carry out the last instructions given, you may not see what God intended for giving the instructions. Are we together? All right. Number seven. God's timing and what? Lack of capacity to handle what you're praying for. All right. So you can see the last one. I just had to compress it to make them seven. So if we expand it, we're having 9 or 10. Amen. But that's beautiful. All right. So we said two things to pay attention to. Number one, your focus. Number two, your faith. And we began to talk about paying attention to your focus. Remarkable, right? Okay. Paying attention to your focus. That was all we stopped. Was it focus on the invisible force of God's word? Focus on the force of God's love? And we said, focus on your soul, right? That was where we stopped. When there's no change as yet, focus on your soul. Hallelujah. I made an important statement last week, and I want to repeat it. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, when the focus is right, things will turn around. Who remembers that? You should write it somewhere. When the focus is right, things will turn around. Life is a battle of focus. Never forget this. Satan will always love to get your attention in trying seasons. Are we together? In transition seasons. Listen, what Satan is after is your mind, is your attention, is your faith. Once your focus is right, things are going to turn around. Once your focus is wrong, we are not sure how long you are going to wait. Hallelujah. And we said the first thing to focus on, thank you, Holy Spirit. The first thing to focus on is the force of God's word. And we had time talking about that. Paying attention to God's word. He said, look and leave, the songwriter says. Talking about the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness. The problem wasn't being beaten by serpent. He didn't say, look and kill the serpent. No. He said, look at the brazen serpent. For whosoever looks will live. And that is God setting the precedence for man. That the way to transformation, the way to getting the required change is to look. And Jesus said, just like Moses lifted the brazen serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted, right? That means every time you look at him, the Son of Man is the living word. He's the living logos. Every time your gaze is the word, forget about the serpent. When you look to what God has lifted, his word, hallelujah. He said, for he has exalted his word above all of his names. If you can look at his word, you will live. Once the focus is right, once the gaze is the word, there'll be a turnaround. Are you here? So focus on his word. Don't get distracted. How did Peter walk on water? He was focused on the master. The moment he began to look at the storm, began to look at the wind that was boisterous, the Bible says he began to sink. He wasn't sinking until he shifted his focus. Did you notice that? That is where the discipline is. Focusing. Focusing on the word concerning the new season. Focusing on the word concerning the challenge. Focusing. Don't let Satan get your attention. Keep your eyes on the word. Lepekos kapataya. And the way, you know it already. Hearing, speaking, seeing. Those are the gates to your mind. Hearing. When we say focus, I mean, come on now. It's not your physical eyes we're talking about. We're talking about paying attention. Putting your gaze on the word with the eyes of your mind. With the eyes of your heart. And the gates are your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. If you need to say it 1,000 times, say it. If you need to look at it, you know sometimes that you know the Bible of heart, the verse of heart, doesn't mean you can't open it and look at it again. Oh, I love to do that most times. You look at it again. Oh, himself took my infirmity and bore my sicknesses. You are looking again. You are looking again. You underline it before, you underline it again. Use a highlighter to highlight it again. You look at it and cause until that word becomes your soul celebration. You saw it last week, but looking at it today, it comes to the freshness. That's how to focus. You are seeing it again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what comes my way, I'm coming out victorious. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. You know that you know that you know that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. You are looking at it again. And when you look at it, something comes alive. Hallelujah. Was it number two? Focus on invisible force of God's love. Every time Satan comes at you, what is after is to separate you in consciousness from the Father's love. All right. Number three, now focus on your soul. I'm saying the first part of that is the development of your soul. I believe that was where we stopped. The development of your soul. The development of your soul. Romans 12:2, very quickly. Romans 12:2. You can put it off hard now. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the reconstruction of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Give me 3 John 2. 3 John verse 2. 3 John verse 2. Now, obviously, that scripture is talking about transformation of the soul. Renewing of your mind. transformation of your soul. You know, a lot of times people like to blame, put blames on every other thing except on the leanness of their soul. People like to put the blames for the change that hasn't happened, the manifestations that have that hasn't happened, on everything else. They just don't like me in this office. They are just being tribalistic. It's because of the color of my skin. If I'd had a 2-1, if I'd made that first class, if my father was richer and you are angry, what kind of family is this, self? Thinking that your family is the reason for why you are where you are irresponsible. We like to put blames on every other thing except the leanness of our soul. What I mean by that, we look around, we look outward. Look, the reason for this is this and is outward. The reason for that is this one and is outward. I told you last week, when you turn the light inwards, you are ready to grow. You are ready to make a change. Look at your soul first. Is it developed? Because listen, you can really not handle beyond the capacity of your soul. That's the truth. I say that again. You can really not handle life beyond the capacity of your soul. So God designed life's algorithm this way, to bring to you what you can handle. Did you get that? Did you get that? Let's read this. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That means to the extent to which your soul prospers. That means to the degree to which your soul is developed. That means that change you are waiting for, pay attention to the development of your soul. As your soul prospers, you begin to prosper on the outside. That's what he's saying. "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." I wish God's people would turn the light on upon the development of their soul and just focus. Look, this is where I need to be. If I need to be here, oh, I've said this here before. That vision that you see, the most important factor in that vision is you. Are you aware of that? It's not God though, it's you. That means you will partner with God and let God transform you to become the version of you that can carry out that vision that you see. Oh, and that's true. Like a dear man of God will say, everything you are looking for is looking for you, but not this version of you. Amen. Everything you are looking for, in fact, including that husband and that wife, is looking for you. Amen. Including that job, that kind of life, you know. What's on your mind? Must he be on serious? Let me not look at the person so that you guys will not laugh at him. When I say husband and wife now, he's now smiling and talking to a lady sitting close to him. Who did this to you? You know I'm talking about you. Hallelujah. What was I saying? All right. I say everything you're looking for is also looking for you, right? But not this version of you. Praise God. And the moment you become the person you saw in that vision, the other component of the vision will come to pass. So to neglect every other thing, or to neglect this most important thing, and begin to pay attention to the things on the outside, is to be unwise. What are the things that the Lord has spoken to you concerning 2021? There's a version of your soul that will attract it. That's what he's saying in Romans 12. He says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed." The Greek word is metamorpho. Where we got the word metamorphosis from, right? And metamorphosis means to change state, to change form. Oh, glory to God. That means through the renewing of your mind, you can change form. The beautiful thing, you see, I studied this years ago and it got me excited. I knew this was the secret to consistent prosperity and consistent progress. Irreversible progress. How many of you remember metamorphosis in biology? That the egg becomes the larva, the larva becomes the pupa, and the pupa becomes the caterpillar. Becomes the butterfly, the adult, right? When we take the butterfly, for example, we talked about egg, caterpillar. I think caterpillar should be the pupa also for the butterfly, right? Or just call it caterpillar, a transition phase. And you have the butterfly. You see, the picture of the Spirit of God painted to my mind that changed me many years ago was this. Through the process of this transformation, of this renewal, the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. It's impossible for the butterfly to go back to become a caterpillar. Is it possible? Irreversible. That means once this change of the soul happens, you are not going back to poverty. You are not. And it has nothing to do with what is on the outside. Absolutely nothing. Once that shift happens and you enter that arena of victory and dominion, you are not going back. Except you are telling me that a butterfly can again become a caterpillar. If that cannot happen, this transformation is irreversible. It's the same thing he's talking about, metamorphosis. He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be a metamorpho, kaya bokaya, by the renewing of your mind. So this mind renewal, this mental reconstruction, positions you for irreversible progress. That's what transformation really is. You can't go back to the former state. You have to consciously sit again and feed on the material that will make you look like a caterpillar for you to go back. And that will take effort and time. You sit again and start thinking poverty, lack, defeat, confusion. So and start telling yourself, I want to be poor. I want to be defeated. I want to be small. I want to be useless. And then meditate on it. From this duplex, I'm squatting. In I face you, I face me. Is it I face you, face me or something? Amen. You meditate on it. And it will take time. That's why I would say it's impossible. Amen. That should give you hope, isn't it? And God is so amazing. He has not put these keys to transformation in another man's hand. It's within you. Once you get the right information and start doing something to your mind. Listen, on the outward, it may look as though there is no change. It may look as though nothing has happened yet, but you are making progress. Once that internal conversion happens, the realm of the spirit has no choice but to deliver to you that which you desire. Let's read that Matthew 13 again. Matthew 13 verse 15. Jesus was teaching. He said, these people's heart is waxed gross, right? Matthew 13, 15. And in that verse of scripture, he shows us how this change, how this irreversible change happens. Completely reversible. It shows us how the realm of the spirit steps in to bring people into the new in vital experience. That's what he's talking about. For these people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Amen. That's negative. That's negative. But it shows you how it happens. Heart, ears, and eyes. Those are the things you need. And watch what he says. He said, lest at any time, please underline it. That means you can set the time for the manifestation. In fact, that was why I combined God's timing and your capacity to handle what you're asking for. Listen, most times what we call God's time is really our time of readiness. Amen. Let me put it in a way you can understand. Well, it's about the timing of the Spirit. Most times, this timing of the Spirit is about the Lord waiting for us to sustain the right mental posture for the manifestation to happen. I tell you the truth, I lie not. Either mental posture in your love walk, mental posture in the area of your pride, okay, in the area of competence and capacity. Are we together? So you can see that as well. Well, everything has time with God. Yes, it is true. But when you read the Bible very carefully, and this is what Jesus is saying here, lest at any time, at any time, at any time. That means manifestation is not completely dependent on God. You have a part to play in adjusting the time. He says at any time, and he shows you what to do. Lest at any time, if they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. That's that mental transformation. He says, I should heal them. Meaning I come under obligation to bring manifestation. Meaning the realm of the spirit has no choice but is forced to deliver to you what you have become on the inside. So never forget this. What most Christians call God's timing is really God waiting for the development of the soul. You should write it somewhere. For the development of the soul. Most times. For the development of the soul. And don't forget the seven things I listed 3 weeks ago. Because this soul's development is a combination of these things. You want the total assets of your business and investment to reach $200,000. That's like $100 million, right? You have to develop your soul to that level. That's the truth. If your internal energy cannot handle that and it comes accidentally, it will disappear accidentally. Oh yes, it will. So God in his wisdom says, look, you can touch this timing of manifestation. If you can open your ears to hear, open your eyes to see, open your heart to understand and be converted, I'll make it happen. He said, lest at any time, when I saw this, I decided to increase the speed of my mental renewal. Did you hear what I said? You can increase the speed of the renewing of your mind. Oh yes, you can. You can increase the speed. That means you can renew your mind at 20 kilometers per hour. While another person can decide to renew at 200 kilometers per hour. Do you understand? Driving, for example, Abuja is destination. Mr. A is running at 20 kilometers per hour. No 20, I can. Some of you can run at that level, sir. Hallelujah. Another is running, let's say 150, man. On our road, you can't really do 200, amen. Hallelujah. Who will get to Abuja first? Talk to me, somebody. The 150. What we are saying is, who will get manifestations first? The 150. In fact, it's going to get to Abuja earlier, less distracted, less stressed, saves time. He has things to leverage on. The guy who's going 20 kilometers per hour will get distracted, will get discouraged, will get hungry, will get stressed, and may end up in Kefi and give up. I mean, must somebody get to Abuja? This is what is happening to many Christians. Are you seeing it now? That means when you increase the speed of your mental renewal, there's an excellence of life, and there's the speed of manifestation you attain. Say an amen, somebody. Are you getting me? So when I'm sitting, I'm listening to 2-3 messages per day, reading a book in a week or two, maybe 2 books a month, or 4 books a month, depends on where you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Having thinking time, reducing my sleep time, so that my mind can be transformed. Consuming certain materials that expands my mental bandwidth. Then another person watches Telemundo most of the time, reads one book in 6 months. How many books have you read? You say, I started one sharp, not finished. This is May. May 4th. Play video game with spare time. Let me tell you, the time you spend doing your work, especially regular employment, the time you spend doing your work, is not all there is to your development. Let me be nice and assume that as you work, certain level of improvement is happening. But let me tell you something. You have to work harder on your mind than on your work. That means if your speed of mental reconstruction is not fast, my brother, manifestation will be delayed. Are you getting it now? Have I broken it down enough? So this guy is reading half book in 6 months. That's one book in 1 year. Listening to messages, he's too busy. Half message in 1 week, he starts and sleeps off. Amen. A good geek of his mind is filled with video game, Telemundo, Z World, Champions League, glory to God. A good part is filled with scrolling now on Instagram. You do 2 kilometers per day, 4 kilometers per day, you know, your hand scrolling 4 kilometers. You say an average millennial scrolls 4 kilometers per day. That is serious. 4 kilometers. Jabalayas. That means the rate of your mental renewal. Listen, when we talk about the renewing of your mind, it's not every information that renews your mind. By now you know that. By now you know that. We're talking about selective information. Specific, specialized knowledge. Relevant knowledge. Knowledge that brings progress. Knowledge that improves the quality of your thinking. Knowledge that affects the quality of your decision making. Because listen, life response, outcomes in life is connected to decision making. And you cannot make decisions beyond the level of your knowledge. So we're talking about information that affects your reasoning, the way you think. There's how to think, glory to God. The way you process information. How do you process information? You know, in MBA, in executive decision making, there's what we call cognitive biases. There's what we call processing of information, interpretation, processing and interpretation of information. How do you process information? It has to do with your mental bandwidth. The same hot water that hardens the egg, softens the carrot. Mental bandwidth. That means same opportunities or same happenstance. Two different people will interpret it two different ways. Why? Because of the makeup of their mind. Because of their mental structures. Have it together. Someone will get to a place and say, there's no money here. And that person will come and say, I see millions of dollars here. What happened? The architecture of their mind. Their way of reasoning. That is what this constant interface with the world, with relevant information, does to your mind. That's the mental renewal. There are those whose minds are not trained to see opportunities. And there are those whose minds are trained to see opportunities. You can't cover your minds only with pictures and videos and memes and TikTok videos. Am I talking? That cannot be all you feed on. Do you engage with things that are mentally stimulating? Am I talking? That's why sometimes when you see that you're trying to read a book, information you've not heard before, your mind wants to sleep. You are looking confused. You ought to drop it. Don't drop it. Continue. Break that mental barrier. You'd have crossed a rate limiting step to the next level of this mental transformation. Are you here? Stay there. Stay there. Stay there. Your mind is trying to say, this information is new. We don't know it. It's hard. It's hard. But it's part of the training of the mind. Like, listen, your mind is an invisible muscle. Meaning nobody has extra muscles. People only have more developed muscles. Write it down. That means nobody has extra minds. People only have more developed minds. Like, I don't know who is the most gymed here. Freeborn is not here. I saw him on Sunday. Eh? Is he here? Man of Steel. Wait. Who has the most developed muscle? Jerry. High priest. That's the opposite. You just wanted to have. We're talking about visible muscles, not by faith. Visible muscles. That guy's bicep. Praise God. Well, are you getting the point? Man of Silla, I think I saw him on Sunday. Maybe he has gone back to Abuja. You see, Freeborn does not have. Where's Mrs. Freeborn? Did she travel too? She's not around. Okay. Family people, amen. All right. Freeborn, if he's watching the live, he'll be laughing. I need to be laughs. All right. Freeborn doesn't have extra muscles. Messiah, right? Okay. Your muscles are not too big yet, amen. We are in faith with you, amen. Who is gymed here now? Okay, let just use your mind. Just use your mind. You see, that guy with very big biceps, he's not muscle, now he's fat. He's food. Please don't point to him. He's food. Which muscles? We are talking about muscle. It's not food. I'm talking about developed muscles. It's fat. Adipose tissues that you have there. Amen. All of you go to the gym. Jeff, do you go to the gym? Is yours muscles or are the post issues? Don't be shy now. I can't find people with. Okay, Obina has muscles. All right, let's see Obina's own. At least you gym. Stand up. Obi. He gyms. At least I've found one person. Stand now. Don't be shy. Okay, high priest, stand. Jerry, start. Start very fast. You can see them. You can see the contrast. Both of you should come for our online audience. Just come. Just come. Put your hands together for them. Just come. We're talking about the development of your mind. Mental transformation. This is not David and Goliath, so nobody's. Okay, just come up here. All right. Oh God, how did I do this? The Lord is with you. God has blessed you. Who even called your name that you go to the gym? Does it look like you visit the gym? All right, he's just. No, life is in stages, amen. In this phase of his life, he's just pressing into God, amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is Obina. This is Jerry, amen. You can see the difference in the muscle mass. Keep quiet. Now, listen, what I'm saying is very simple. Obina does not have extra muscles. Amen. Those of you who did anatomy in school, you know that here you have biceps and triceps, right? Amen. He also has biceps and triceps. Believe me. No, I know it's difficult for you to believe, but believe me, he has them. I'll bat your head. You don't want to hear what he said. All right. I know in your mind, when I say biceps and triceps, you're looking at that bodybuilder with muscles. Everybody has biceps and triceps, including the slim ladies. Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody has it. But the point is, his muscles are bigger because of impute, because of exercise. He goes to the gym. He does stuff. Amen. His muscles are bigger, not extra. They are bigger because they are more developed. The same thing with your mind. Think about the most scholarly erudite. Okay. Think about someone you know with extraordinary sagacity of mind. With a large amplitude of reasoning. They don't have extra brain. They have developed minds. So your mind is like an invisible muscle. The more weight you carry, that's how it works in the gym, right? You carry weight to increase the size of the muscle. The same thing with your mind. God bless you. You can go to sit down. Put your hands together for them. Hallelujah. I'm sure you won't forget this in a hurry. Amen. Listen, that means the more weight you carry with your mind, the more developed, the more you develop the tensile strength of your mind. Just like when you carry physical weight on your hands, on your abdominal muscles, it gets tougher, it gets thicker, it gets stronger. It's the same thing with your mind. Now, when you go to the gym, the first day you try to carry something, the response is pain. Do you understand? The response is pain. In fact, every time you want to increase the weight you carry in the gym, you're going to experience pain. Are we together? It will be pain. More pain. But you see, the more of that load you carry, the more your muscle will get used to it. Until you can step it up to carry heavier stuff. Are we together? The same thing with your mind. There are times when you are reading something, it's looking foggy. Your mind is looking foggy. It's trying to shut down. Don't shut it down. It's like carrying load. You insist that, look, mind, you must expand. You stay there until you go through that space. And your mind is exercised. Are we together? That will toughen and increase the tensile strength of your mind. Did you get the point? So, this is very important. When you are bringing in new information or trying to solve a problem, it happens to me from time to time. And I know, look, this is about my mind expanding. In fact, there are things that are on your to-do list or your vision list or your goal, your 1 year goal, 3 year goal, 5 year goal vision, goal or vision. That sometimes when you sit down and think about them, your mind gets foggy. Like, okay, let's push it. The temptation is, okay, let's push it up. No, there's nothing like that. When you sit and crack it, your mind is not the same. Are we together? You may be reading one chapter of the Bible as well. I'm not understanding it. Read it. Read it. Read the 5 chapters. Pray in tongues and read it again. Something is happening to your mind. Hallelujah. You carry John Maxwell's book. Maybe How Successful People Lead or something. I'm saying leadership by position. Leadership by relationship. Leadership by leading leaders. Leadership by result. Leadership by legacy. And then, you know, sometimes when you read some of those books, because their context is different, the stories and all that, you may not even be able to relate to it immediately, but stay there, read it through. Or you are reading Malcolm Gladwell's book, and they are quoting a research done by psychologists, amen. And then you are reading the experiment, and your mind is about to shut down. God, it's no experiment I came here to read. Stay there and read it. Your mind will expand. Hallelujah. Or you are reading Peter Drucker's book. You did science in school. You are reading Peter Drucker. That's the management guru, right? The father of modern management. And then, you are looking at, okay, these structures. And your mind is trying to shut down. Pull through. That's what I'm saying. Let your mind go to the gym. Because there is a requisite mental capacity required for higher level of results. Did you get that? In business, ministry, marriage, finance, name them, career. There's a requisite level of mental transformation. So when we talk about a new version of you, it's not really your body we're talking about. We're talking about your mind. your mind and the character of your spirit. There are some of you who have unstable minds. When you sit down to think, boo, your mind is drifted. So you start thinking of drama. You start thinking of football. You start thinking of video game. You start thinking of romance. You start thinking of this. How are you going to galvanize your mind? It's through this discipline of mind renewal. When you can stay through to pass information, relevant and new information to your mind to reconstruct your way of thinking. Are we together? And once you do that consistently, you are not the same. You are not the same. So pay attention to your soul in development of your mind. Have a sound mind. Tell yourself that the cells of your brain will glow. Glory to God. The cells of your brain will shine. Glory to God. Don't be mentally lazy. Don't be mentally lazy. Don't be. Learn to put concepts together. Learn things. I was percussing some young men yesterday about towns in Nigeria and which states they are from. Glory to God. And I insisted that it's not because I did geography. I didn't even learn those things in geography. It's just interest and challenging your mind. Where is Potiskum? Where is Ede? Where is Zuru? Amen. Where is Kotangora in Nigeria? Where is Akbo? Glory to God. Going from south, went through all the geopolitical zones, not capital, major towns. And you don't need to have been there. What was that doing? Mental exercise. Mental exercise. You see, there's what we call cross-pollination of knowledge. Nobody has sound mind by staying on something. Okay, me, I'm a social science person. All I do is social science. You can never have a sound mind like that. There's cross-pollination of knowledge. That means you are in social science, you know some things in medicine. It doesn't make you a doctor. You are in law, you know some things in psychology. It doesn't make you a psychologist. So in developing mental bandwidth, we'll talk about the width of knowledge and the depth of knowledge. The depth of knowledge is knowing everything about something. That means your major area, you know as much as you can concerning your constituency. You're a fashion person. What do you know about fashion? If we start percussing you about fashion, you know about fashion. What do you know about the metamorphosis of into modern fashion? Okay, what do you know about the best fashion house in the world? How were they built? If you're in the beauty industry, what do you know about it? Not that you read two articles of, no. I've taught you before. You must be academic about your career. You must be academic about your trade. Sorry there. That was the expression I used. You must be academic about your trade. Amen. Those of you who attended School of Ministry, I was talking about physical law of church growth. There's what we call Roof's Law. That this is ministry. You are talking about preaching and leading a church. And we're saying Roof's Law. And we are defining it, giving academic context to it. We say no church can grow beyond times 5 of its effective leadership base without undergoing entropy. And entropy is the degree of disorderliness. At entropy, membership gain equals membership loss. Therefore, accumulation is 0. So you don't understand what I just said. That's being academic about your trade. Any pastor should understand what I just said. That means to grow a church, you pay attention to the leadership base. Praise God. So the depth of knowledge. What do you know about beauty industry? You are a non-governmental, in childcare, in social work. What do you know about it? You are in banking. What do you know about the history of money? They say you are in the bank. I'm asking, what's the history of money? They say, what are you talking about? What's the future of money? They say, what are you talking about? And you are counting the money. Have it together. You see, you're an evangelist. I'm asking you about revival history. You don't know. All that the major revivals that have happened in Nigeria, you don't know. That have happened around the world, you don't know. Don't be sophist. Be academic about your trade. That means there has to be a depth of knowledge. If you are in real estate, how many books, how many materials have you interacted with in real estate? How many? Or you are using native wisdom. You'll be limited. you just end on the street. By that I mean your result cannot, there's a ceiling, there's a capping. That's the depth of knowledge. Then there's a width of knowledge. There's a width of knowledge. That means you know something about everything, literally. You know something about everything. When they mention geography, you are not lost. Even though you studied commerce in school. If there's anything like that, amen. Did I study commerce in school? Okay. Praise God. Are we together? They mention aerodynamics. Don't say, which one is that? We did not do science in school. It's literature. We're reading storybooks. No. You know something. When I say aerodynamics, and so when you have love for knowledge, you are passionate about having this mental posture for your inheritance in Christ. You pay attention to what I'm talking about. When they say aerodynamics, you don't need to be interested in being a pilot to know. Okay, you know something about aerodynamics. What's the aerodynamics? Talking about flight and flying things. Amen. Glory to God. Excluding witchcraft. Amen. That's the curse on his own. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you blessed tonight?
Yes, sir.
So that's the width. The width of knowledge. You know something. And how do we know? You don't need to be there now as I'm talking. But what is the next step? Your attitude. Your attitude. You can write it down. Your attitude. What's your attitude to the things I'm saying? What's your attitude to knowledge? What's your attitude to the development of your mind? What's your attitude? Know something. Interacting with people a few years ago, we figured that there were people who became members of church just because they felt that I knew something about many things. Amen. Yes, when we got feedback, I say, we've never seen a pastor who could go beyond the Bible and talked about technology and talked about fashion and talked about movie industry, politics, thank you, history. And so we felt we were safe sitting under you. And it's true that you are born again doesn't mean your mind is suspended. When you enter church, it doesn't mean you should keep your mind at the gate. Amen. Or keep it at the door. No. In the kingdom, you use your mind. Guided by the word of God. You use your mind. When you talk, it should be valuable. When you talk, and listen, we cannot take over the marketplace without this mental transformation. We'll be called irrelevant. That means you should present the gospel with enough intelligence to a thinking man. You cannot just say, believe it or leave it. That's the way it is. No. Jesus died for you. A virgin conceive. How can a virgin conceive? Say, believe it. A virgin conceive. If you don't believe it, leave it. You go to hell. No. The Bible says you should have answers. A priest lives, you keep knowledge. You should have answers to respond to those who ask you concerning the matters of your faith. At least try your best. Are we together? At least they should value and honor your intellection. Oh, did you get that? People should give kind attribution to your intellection. That means when you talk, before they talk about the faith, they should have kind attribution to your intellect. Okay, you are sound. Okay, let's hear what you have to say. Glory to God. Let's hear what you have to say. We cannot be a generation of mentally lazy people, only looking for money. Money is not the only thing. Money is one out of many things we require to change this world. You have to decide that I'm going to be a smart person. I'm going to be a mentally transformed person. If I speak, let any professor hear, they will know that I'm making sense. Amen. No, we have academic people who come here. We have professors who come to church. Amen. You are aware now. Oh, those who have been professors, if we are not making sense, they cannot come and sit down. Glory to God. Very important. Renew your mind. Expand the boundaries of your mind. Expand the boundaries of your mind. It's not by accident that the person who wrote the highest number of books in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, the persons, they were learned. Moses wrote the highest number of books. He was schooled in the wisdom of Egypt. Paul wrote the highest number of books in the New Testament. He's schooled at the feet of Gamaliel. It's not an accident. Selah, rise to your feet. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you blessed? Are we closing early? I see my time. Oh, Holy Spirit, it's just 7:15. All right, can we have the people serving the communion? Let's break bread and go home. Amen. Since the Holy Spirit decided, I just say, rise to your feet. It has finished. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, have you been blessed tonight? Just lift your hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord. Honor Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. Give Him worship. Give Him praise. Give Him glory. You have heard God's word. Can you just focus on the Lord? You are in church. You are not at home. Online, on ground. Just focus on the Lord. And just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just worship Him. Just honor Him. Just worship Him. Just honor Him. Just look to Jesus from the depth of your heart. Just honor Him. Can you pray the things you have heard when there's no change as yet? You say, focus on the invisible force of the word. Focus on God's love. Focus on your soul in development. Just pray, Lord, I will focus on your love. I will focus on your word. I will focus on my soul. It's an instruction. I will pay attention to the development of my soul. I will not blame everybody. Just blame, putting blames out there and forgetting the development of your soul. Lord, I will not do that. Lord, I will not do that. Lord, I will not do that. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Can we pray some more? Just lift your hand seriously. And just honor Him. Speak in tongues. Move your being together. Repekopatonski stepora dile kopata. Zalika pronda kopatoska. Zelika prakapotoski stapora liga pronda sustapora bukapa Zelika pronda kapatonska. Can I hear you worshiping? Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Just worship Him. Who was on these and knees to come. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever. Sing it now. Blessed be the Lord to come. Oh, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever.
One more time.
Sing it up.
Blessed be the Lord.
Oh, Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Precious Jesus, we love you. We love you. Truly, you are soul celebration. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. Indeed, you are Passover, and you've been sacrificed for us. Lord, we receive your body. And we receive your blood tonight directly from our high priest. We see you serving us the bread and the wine, which is your body and your blood. Lord, as we partake of this, we shall triumph in the name of Jesus. Guys, the Lord spoke to me while I was leading prayers on Sunday evening. Those of you who follow prayers online, you can remember that the Lord says, in this month of May, long-standing battles have come to an end in our favor. And secondly, in this month of May, long-standing heart desires are granted. So I speak in the name of Jesus, the word of the Lord over you. In this month of triumph, long-standing battles have come to an end. And they have ended in your favor. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, in this month of triumph, Lekopatos Kapaya, Haya Shepetos Sibaya, long-standing heart desires are granted. In the name of Jesus. Meaning the things that your heart has reached out for weeks, for months, for years. Leso Bredile Konda Soshtepaya. The Lord, we stand in this blood and we speak forth these words that you have spoken to us. That those long-standing heart desires are granted. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our eyes will see them manifest in this month of May. Father, we thank you. This sacrifice of Jesus is our confidence. Tonight we stand upon that altar of heaven and we drink this blood and eat this body. And we declare that our bodies are in health. We declare that our bank accounts overflow with monies. We declare that our storehouses and treasure houses overflow with resources. In the name of Jesus. We declare that the earth responds to us favorably. In the name of Jesus. We declare that men, institutions, and governments are responding favorably to us. In this month of May and all through 2021. In the name of Jesus. For us is a lifetime of favor. The Bible says, for favor is for a lifetime. We declare tonight, Lepatosa, by the force of the sacrifice of Jesus, by the force of the blood of Jesus poured out on Calvary over 2,000 years ago. Lepatosi balatea, Shepetola bela topataya, Shepelita pepa sikapa. We declare favors. Us. In the name of Jesus, men are showing us kindness. Systems are showing us favor. Institutions are showing us favor. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we stand in this blood tonight and we come against every sickness and disease, every diagnosis, every symptom, every infirmity in our bodies. They are crushed to nothing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. We are victorious over sicknesses. We are victorious over diseases. In the name of the Lord Jesus. From the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, eternal life runs through us. And by this blood, we are in divine health continually. In the name of Jesus. And we declare that our household is preserved. Our households are preserved. Our loved ones are preserved. We are protected from evil. We are delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. In the name of the Lord Jesus. everywhere we go, the terror of the Lord is upon the enemies of our souls. In the name of Jesus, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord encamps round about us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, oh, the angel of the Lord encamps round about us to deliver us everywhere we go. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you. Long-standing heart desires are granted. Long-standing battles have come to an end. Family battles, health battles, land battles, financial, I don't care what it is, marital battles. I want you to take communion, speak those words. When you go home, speak them. Speak them. Long-standing battles have come to an end. Long-standing heart desires have come to our hands. In the name of Jesus.
Feel this place. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. King of glory. Feel this. Oh, I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. Gonna take it one more time. King of glory. King of glory. Feel this place. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you.
Till you come again. just wanna be singing, singing. I just wanna be with the King of Glory.
Hallelujah. Go ahead and rejoice tonight. Amen. Go ahead and rejoice. Go ahead and rejoice.
God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.